Beyond Athletic, episode 42.
Let me tell you, every good thing that's happened to my business, I'd say 99% of all the positive things have happened through random social connections.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic.
Hey guys, quick note right before this gets started. I could not get this off of a hard drive until just recently, and I'm so stoked. So before the intro, this is the pre-intro to say, this is an awesome episode. Jordan is an awesome guy, like really, it's two awesomes. But I really think you're gonna enjoy this. If you do, share it with everyone, but I really apologize for the delay. I can't believe I finally got this off of a hard drive. I thought I should have buried a long time ago. Anyways, here it is.
What's up, everybody? Today is another game plan session. You're really going to enjoy this. Jordan Harbinger is the guest of The Art of Charm. If you haven't heard of it, Google it, The Art of Charm, and go ahead and take a couple listens to some of his episodes. They're fantastic. He's a funny guy, very charismatic, very personable. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today, is connecting with people. And this is a guy who runs a business with his partner, AJ. And if you go to Art of Charm on Facebook, you'll see there are 35,000 plus followers. So this is not someone who is just kind of dilly-dallying around and not doing anything, and definitely not an amateur to this game. He's been doing it for a long time, and we get into things about leadership, building self-confidence, networking, and relating to people emotionally, and how that ties not just into you as an athlete, with your team, with your coaches, everyone around you, and your competitors, but into your future, into your business life, into your personal life. And so I hope you're going to take a ton away from this. I certainly did. I'm a big listener to his show, and I think after this, you're going to want a little more. So I'm going to put in the show notes some episodes that I really, really enjoyed. And I hope you really enjoy this episode today with The Art of Charms, Jordan Harbinger. If you do, make sure you let us know. Tweet at The Art of Charm to holler at Jordan, or at Ryan J. Owens to holler at me. And just tell us what you liked about this and what you might like to hear in the future, anything. Just show some love. Anyways, without any further ado, enjoy this episode. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for listening. Ryan J. Owens here. Today is a game plan session where we give you knowledge to optimize your life. And one quick little optimization is, if you're not already listening on a handheld device, something that you can walk around with, you know, do other things with while multitasking and listen to this, do that. Find us on iTunes, TuneIn, or Stitcher. Today's featured guest is Jordan Harbinger. And I want to run through a quick bio of you, but because it's just sick. It's awesome. Your history is crazy. So he has always had an affinity for social influence, interpersonal dynamics, and social engineering, helping private companies test the security of their communication systems and working with the law enforcement agencies before he was even old enough to drive legally. Jordan has spent several years abroad in Europe and developing world, let's see, including South America, Eastern Europe, and the Middle East, and speaks several languages. Hopefully we'll hear a couple of those. He has also worked for various governments and NGOs overseas, traveled through war zones, and been kidnapped twice. Wow. He'll tell you the only reason he's still alive and kicking is because of his ability to take or talk his way into and out of just about any type of situation. So that's a little bit about Hugh. You're one of the creators, right, with AJ of The Art of Charm. And right. That's not only a podcast, but that's a business. And you're going to get into all of that. But sure. I want to set the tone, and I'm going to steal your time to give your quote, because I heard a fantastic quote during your interview with Lewis House. And if anybody doesn't know that, you need to check it out. He said, how you do anything is how you do everything. And then you came back with, and I love this, you never rise to the level of your expectations, but you default to the level of your training.
Right.
And I want that to be the tone for this, because this is for athletes at all levels, but there's a ton of people on here, Jordan, that are going to be listening that are Olympians multiple times. So that's a little bit about you. Why don't you tell us, you know, how you got into this and what you're up to?
Sure. So it's funny you should mention that I was not legally able to drive, because I thought about it. I don't think I ever broke the law driving. I don't think I ever broke the law drinking. But my first crimes, you know, as people have them, where it's usually like minor in possession, drove a car and you weren't supposed to. And I don't even just mean that I got caught for it. My first like criminal activity as a kid, my youthful folly, was wiretapping. And I was doing a lot of that when I was a kid, and I cloned cell phones, which means you take the serial number out of one cell phone and you program it into another one. And this was back in the analog cell phone days, so you could listen to other conversations that were happening on the network if you did that. So it was really interesting for me, because that's how I started learning about human nature, was by like wiretapping and listening to people's conversations when I was like 13 years old, 14 years old. And I heard my neighbor getting divorced, and he was a different person when he talked to his soon to be ex-wife, his mother, his sister, his buddies, his brother. He was a completely different guy when he talked to all of those different people. So I started to see the complexities of human nature at a pretty intimate level as a really young guy. And that opened my eyes to a lot of this stuff. And so I started helping law enforcement agencies, companies, and things like that with their security as a result of that skill set. And then that later on got parlayed into my career as an attorney on Wall Street. I used to be a finance attorney, which then, of course, later evolved into what we do now at The Art of Charm, which is train people in confidence, charisma, personal magnetism, change the way they show up. And the quote that you like is interesting, because it's actually something I got from some of our special forces clients, because they believe that big time. And I know that a lot of the elite athletes listening to you live by this, whether they do it consciously or not, which is you can't, what laymen think, like when you're thinking like, all right, if I ever get into a fight, here's what's going to happen, right? And it's like the same thing with dating. Like, well, if I see this girl I like, here's what's going to happen. And it's like they have this grandiose vision of them turning into like Steven Seagal with a better haircut when they get into like a conflict or something. And meanwhile, they're just like, they freak out. I've seen what happens, because I used to work physical security as well back in Detroit. And I've seen what like tough guys turn into, this like weird blubbery mess when there's actual violence. And you'll ask them afterwards what happened, or you'll be standing there with the cops while everybody tells their version of the story, and the tough guy's all like, yeah, what happened was he walked in and I knew that he was going to be this kind of thing, so I moved people to safety, and then I disarmed, and then I did this and I did that. And it's like you have videotape of that guy like running into a wall and then like falling down a flight of stairs and then like hiding in the bathroom and then coming out later and being like, yeah, I punched that guy and I choked him out. And it's like, no, you didn't. That didn't even happen. And it's not even necessarily that they're full of crap. It's just that the way that you experience things in high-pressure situations is totally different. And so athletes have the same thing where they're in competition. I'm not an elite athlete, and one look at me, you will know that. But like, you know, I know you guys can identify with this, is whenever you're really in that focused zone, that sport zone where you're really performing at your peak, and then someone's like, what did you do out there? You're like, I don't know. And that's why a lot of times, you know, people think athletes are dumb because they'll interview, they'll watch an ESPN interview and they're like, what happened out there? Great performance today. Really amazing. And they're like, yeah, you know, I threw the ball really great and the guys caught it and I got a lot of good blockage. And people are like, man, these athletes are so dumb. And I think that might be part of it. Maybe some people aren't as articulate. the irony. The irony of that. Some people aren't as articulate. but I think the truth is sometimes they're just like, I don't know what happened. I was in the zone. I was not paying attention to, all right, well, what I need to do is get some wide open space and throw the ball and make sure that the receiver gets it. You know, they're just like operating in this awesome badass flow state, and then after the whole thing is over, they're gonna watch it probably on video and find out what they did. That'll be the first they really see it, the first they really experience it like everybody else did, because they were totally focused, totally in the zone. And that happens in athletics, that happens in high pressure violent situations, that happens in any situation where adrenaline is running high, where you're extremely well trained or not. And so that quote is especially apt, because people think, if they haven't trained, they like to think, I'm going to do this and this is what's going to happen and this is what's going to happen. And I'm going to be able to crush this. And, you know, if I were there, I would have been able to do this. And in sports, it's really clear, like, you're not going to be able to necessarily sink a three-pointer as the buzzer goes if you just like basketball. But people think they can do that in, say, like a violent situation or even like a business or negotiation situation or anything like that. They're like, no, what I would do is I would go up and do this and, not, you know, I would do karate on that guy. And it's like, no, you won't. You're going to freak out. You're going to have a panic reaction. And then you're going to beat yourself up for 20 years about not doing anything. And that happens all the time.
Yeah, there's so much in there. And I want to get into all of this about basically, I actually, before I do, I want to chime in about that thing to say with the... The inarticulate athletes.
That inarticulate thing, that articulationary thing.
So yeah. That's I could tell you from firsthand experience, what happens a lot of times is, yes, there are some athletes out there who have been babied and helped along through school, and they really are not articulate. And that's a shame, because it's not that they're not able to learn. It's just that they've been enabled to not learn. So this is a really bad situation. But the other thing is that I know that when I've been in that situation, I remember the first time I was interviewed, Jordan, and I was just like, so nervous. Yeah. It was pretty much what you said. So he set me the ball and I spiked it really hard. I pretty much closed my eyes and we got the point in one. Wonderful. But right. Now, if you put me in that situation, yes, I can deal with it. I've learned how to not be so nervous about that and how to just face that situation and really go into it. Because I will say this about the state of flow that you're talking about. Well, a little bit of state of flow and a little bit of just like natural behavior, because we learn things and we just do them automatically. That's what we hope, that we're doing the right things automatically. But one of the things in flow is that if you're in a state of flow, I can tell you this as an athlete, I can remember exact points, exact details of like most of my matches if I was in flow. But if you ask me right after the match and I'm like in that euphoric state, I'm just like, whoa, you know, like I can still talk. But anyway, so speaking on all of this, let's dive into a few things. And people listening, I want you to know that it doesn't matter if you want to be a leader or if you don't want to be a leader. If you're an athlete, you've got to be able to step up to the plate. Not metaphorically and metaphorically, but you've got to be willing to do that, because you might need to take on a different role. But in general, you need to learn how to connect with people, because when your athletic career is finished, if you cannot connect with people, you're done. You're going to end up broke, divorced, all of these things that 76% of athletes are within 2 to 5 years of retiring. So, Jordan, let's teach people here about emotional intelligence and how I love this thing about charismatic people live longer, they make more money, they have better relationships. People need to know that. And they need to know that you don't need to just be that way as a kid. You can be older and learn that. So
right, yeah. Yeah, it goes in line with the quote that we talked about before, right? A lot of people think, all right, well, you know, I wasn't born this super charismatic guy, so it's never going to happen. Or I wasn't born an outgoing girl, so it's never going to happen. And it's not true. Charisma, personal magnetism, social skills are a set of learned traits. That there's science there. Some of it might be genetic, but it's going to be a really small part of that. Very, very small part of that. And the sort of default vogue, I guess, excuse, for lack of a better word, that people are rocking now is, oh, well, you know, I'm an introvert. And it's like, that's fine. So am I, if you go by the test results, but I'm also a talk show host. So you can't lean on I'm an introvert. And a lot of people do that because it's almost like, here's my medical, clinical excuse why I can't do all these things that are going to get me ahead. And you should feel bad for me or let me off the hook because I'm an introvert. And it's like, it doesn't really matter. Even if medically that were like a true thing and you were deathly afraid of social interaction, you'd still need to fix it because you don't really have a choice. People with large networks are very successful. Very rarely does it work out the other way around where you achieve this awesome success and then you create an amazing network. If that were true, then a lot of these successful athletes would have great networks even after they're broke, and they don't. You know, if success bred network, that would be the case, but it doesn't. Usually network breeds success. And that's why you see a lot of these entrepreneurs who are super well connected at all these different events, involved in all these different charities. They have foundations and stuff like that. They do that to give back, but it's also a really great way to network and build relationships. So you can really not lean on that anymore. You can't say I'm an introvert, or you can't say I wasn't born with it and get away with it, because basically what you're saying is you're going to accept mediocrity from yourself. And it's good to be speaking to an audience of athletes, because nobody would ever, if I walked into your training facility and you were like, all right, Jordan, we're going to take a couple pounds off you. We're going to get you doing some squats and jumping some rope. And I was like, you know, naturally, I'm not that good at jump rope. You wouldn't be like, oh, well, I'm sorry. Let's do shuttle runs instead. You'd be like, well, guess what? You're going to get really good at jumping rope because we're going to make you do a lot of it. Nobody would ever let you get away with like, well, I wasn't born able to jump rope really well, so I'm going to pass on that. That would never, ever happen. And yet when it comes to their social skills, people are more than happy to be like, oh, well, I wasn't given the gift of gab. Well, I wasn't given the gift of, you know, great athletic prowess either. But if I want that, I need to go out there and get it. And yes, some of that's genetic, but I guarantee you there's more genetics involved in athleticism than there are in social skills.
Very good point. I want to talk a little bit about you go into things about the subtractive process and not the additive process, where, you know, I know a lot of your work, especially at the Art of Charm for men listening and for some females, I mean, but is about dating and how to basically interact with the opposite sex. And I think so many of those, like, you know, and I know, so many of those rules apply to everything in life. And like you say, so often these people, especially some of them are con artists, but whatever, but they'll be like, yeah, you got to look this way. You got to do this. You got to add all these things. Can you talk a little bit about what's really needed to make this change?
Sure. Yeah. You know, there's so many changes that you can make in terms of your personality. It's one of the most flexible aspects of ourselves. It's easier to change your personality than it is for most people to lose weight, which is the good news. The reason we teach a lot of the dating and relationship stuff is because if I tell a group of guys that are 25, 30, like, hey, we're going to teach you how to network and create relationships, they're like, cool, yeah, I should do that someday, unless they're really forward thinking. They're not really prioritizing that. But if I'm like, and also it's going to help you meet girls and get more dates and handle this part of your life that maybe you're not focusing on, or maybe you're struggling with, then they're like, oh, wait, hold on. Let me go get a notebook. Right. And it's the same thing with women. Yeah. A lot of women are like, oh, I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of colleagues. I have a lot of good work relationships. I don't really need help in that area. But if I'm like, well, we're going to teach you how to be more attractive, then a lot of ladies are like, well, oh, really? Hold on a second. Now you got my attention. So it's sort of a sell them what they want, give them what they need type of situation where, it, again, to put it back into the sort of trainer athletic analogy, you might be like, all right, I'm a basketball player, so I need to be able to jump really high. And so your coach is like, all right, I'll teach you how to jump really high. Meanwhile, what you really need is a bunch of complicated footwork that's really boring to train. He's not going to be like, yo, you need to come and do this for 3 weeks, because you're going to be like, this sucks. I don't want to sign up for this training camp. I don't want to go and do this. But that's what he knows you need to get better what you think you need. Oh, I need to practice shooting three-pointers. And he's like, yeah, yeah, you're going to get a lot of that here. And then you show up and you get better at everything. And the reason is because he knows how to coach you.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? So a lot of times people come in for dating stuff and they get dating stuff, but what they get is the ability to deserve what they want, which is changing the way they show up to other people, the way they communicate, the way they sit, stand, walk, talk, the way they develop rapport and trust with other people. Those are the keys. But if you tell somebody who's kind of, if you tell the uninitiated that that's what they're going to learn, that doesn't interest people enough to keep their attention. So that's why on the show itself, on the Art of Charm podcast, we have a lot of guests that have to do with like business, networking, dating, relationships, interesting stories, because you have to keep people's attention and there is value there, tremendous value. But the truth of the matter is, everybody's different. When they come in for coaching, you find a completely different individual in front of you and you have to tailor it. So like, you can't just, anybody who's out there is like, I'll teach you the three things that you can say to get any woman's attention. It's like, yeah, I'm interested to hear what those are, because it's an interesting tagline, but that's the whole point, right? It's not going to actually help you. And so there's a lot of con artists out there who will then sell you that product and then give you some lame ebook that does talk about those things, and that's their product. But that's because they're not interested in helping you. They just want to give you something you think you need so that they can make money.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things in here, and I want to break it down because you've lived overseas, and I mean, our top three countries are all, it's like Serbia, I think Austria, and Croatia. So I want to break it down. Yeah, I'm in Serbia.
I used to live in, you're in Serbia. Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I'm in Belgrade.
You know I used to live there. We talked about this. That's right.
Yeah, well, a little bit. And that's why I wanted to actually, you want to say hello to the people of Serbia and Croatia?
Yeah, sure. Sure, yeah, definitely. Dobar dan. I don't even know what time of day it is. Well, I guess it doesn't matter because if they're listening, whatever it is. Wow. Nisi u Beogradu. Priča srpski. No, not really. I'll take that as a no. Are you learning?
I love, yeah, ja učim srpski.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. That's great. I mean, how long have you been in Belgrade? That must be interesting because, I mean, I don't have to tell you this. There's not a whole lot of black people in Belgrade.
I've been coming here for 3 years off and on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's definitely not a lot. And I love how I go out and it's just like stairs.
Pandemonium.
If it's not because I'm tall, it's definitely because, you know, I've got this whole milk chocolate skin going on. So
yeah. Well, it wouldn't be because you're tall, because everybody there is pretty tall as well, especially in Montenegro. Everybody's like 6'5". So yeah, I mean, there were a handful of people that were not white when I was there in 2005, 2004, and it was awesome. We would go and hang out, and people, I mean, it was like hanging out with celebrities. Everybody wanted to talk to them. Everybody wanted to hang out. It had its ups and downs for sure. And what my roommate was a black girl from Trinidad and Tobago. And mm-hmm. who lived in Canada. She was my roommate. So we hung out all the time and people were like, I mean, it was funny because everyone's like, you're so beautiful. And she was like, this never happens in Canada, because she was just a normal chick, you know? So yeah. She was loving it. And I thought it was hilarious. I felt like, you know, it was like hanging out with a celebrity, honestly. You go in anywhere, get in anywhere, do anything. Everybody would treat you like, you know, an alien, like for better or worse.
It's very true. My first year here, I was kind of starstruck with that, I got to tell you. And I know from personal experience, and one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to have you on is because every time I listen, I learn something new about myself and about how to interact with other people. And I can tell you this from firsthand experience. In high school, I barely talked to anybody. I remember it was sophomore year, and I just said, you know what, Ryan, get your ish together, make some friends. You only have like two friends. Get some friends. Stop being so shy, because we moved around a bunch when I was in Chicago. And so I said, how am I going to do that? I said, I got to get in some classes that I've never taken before. So I started taking like cooking and some other like automotive and something else. And then I said, okay, I love biking. I'm going to start BMXing. Then I got a group of friends in BMXing. And then by junior year, it was like volleyball. Okay, Pat, I'll play volleyball. Like, let's try it. And I mean, I was still so shy all through college. I moved out to California, and I remember I was just nervous, not just girls. I'm talking about everybody, nervous with the coaches because of my past history with my father that was a little bit negative with a male influencer in my life and things like that. When I went to Europe, bro, everything changed because it was like tabula rasa. Let's just start from new. I'm who I feel like I am inside, and I'm just going to do it and trust in that. And it worked beautifully. I came back to America and I was just me and I was comfortable. And I think a lot of people don't get that opportunity. So what I want to talk about is how important is it being able to just be comfortable and confident with, for instance, your teammates, with your coaching staff, and how that translates to building that network for you and helping you become successful, not only in your sport, because it'll help you get more jobs, obviously, but outside of sport, how that can translate to success. Well, sure, whatever you deem success is.
Right, exactly. Yeah, for the reason is because, well, let me start over. Essentially, the way that this works is people mirror the way that you are as much as their subconscious sort of wants to, right? And that's a whole another can of worms. But, and I don't mean this in like a weird, like woo-woo, the universe mirrors things. I mean, literally people will start to mirror your body language and start to mirror the way you sit, stand, walk, and talk, the way you feel. So, and since we know that your body language is a reflection of your internal state, if you are nervous talking with somebody and you exhibit little nervous tendencies, even if you're doing your best to hide them, the other person will start to feel a little bit nervous. And it doesn't mean like, oh, I started to feel nervous around him because he was also nervous. Like, it's so subconscious. And the way that this shows up, if the ladies out there who are listening will really understand this, that's why they'll talk to a guy and he won't say anything weird necessarily, but they'll go, that guy's creepy. And they don't really know what it means. And what it means most of the time, or a lot of the time, is something about that guy made me feel weird. I can't really put my finger on it. So I'm just going to not engage with this person anymore because I'm getting a gut feeling that this is not a person I want to be talking to. A lot of times that's because that person is dangerous, but most of the time it's because that guy's nervous. And women aren't going, well, you know, he made me feel a little bit nervous, which I will call creepy. And the reason is probably because he's nervous because I'm so pretty that he's nervous talking to me. That's a losing bet, because when they're wrong, they, you know, have physical life altering altercations with that person. So what they do is they bet on the safe side. And this is just evolutionary psychology happening in your brain. They go, no, I'm going to be over here and go to the bathroom or grab a drink with my friends and nice meeting you. And the guy's like, I don't get what I did. And the answer is, it's nothing you did. It's the way that you are. Right. And this happens at micro levels with literally every. Sorry, I've got my Skype sounds on. You're going to have to edit that. That happens at a micro level with literally every interaction that you have. So like, if you're hanging out with a new person, you meet a new person and that person's like relaxed and fun and they've got a little bit of humor, but not so much that it's overpowering, and they're looking you in the eye and they're talking to you and asking you questions, you're like, that guy's cool. Like, he's like a nice, seems like a cool guy, like a good dude to hang out with. You'll hang out with that guy. You'll be friends with that guy later on, or whatever, if proximity happens. Guys suck at making friends. I did a whole show about it, but we'll put that aside. But if the guy walks up to you and he's introduced by mutual friends, exact same scenario, and he's not necessarily looking you in the eye, or maybe he's really quiet, or maybe he doesn't quite understand your humor, or maybe when you ask him questions, he seems bashful, you might have a different reaction towards that person. You might not go, oh man, that guy sucks, you know, but you might be like, oh yeah, he's just quiet, whatever. Doesn't add any value to your interactions, so that when you're planning your birthday party the next weekend, you're not like, hey man, you should come. You're like, whatever. If he shows up, I'm not going to kick him out. But that funny guy who's really relaxed and chill, you're like, man, you don't meet guys like that very often. I'm having a party next weekend. Why don't you show up? That's a sort of micro example of how this happens constantly in every area of your life. And it happens a lot in business as well. If somebody wants to do business with the Art of Charm, I want to meet them. I want to talk to them. I want to see if everything adds up, so to speak, because your body can't really lie that well. It's actually really, your body's a terrible liar. Yeah. And so you can judge a lot more if you're trained, and even if you're not trained, to look for certain nonverbal cues. And women are actually much better at this than men are, because of, again, that same evolutionary psychology. You might walk next to a guy and your girlfriend might be like, this guy's freaking me out. And you're like, what? Why? And then, you know, you'd have to ratchet that up to 11 to get the same results. Like, you might be looking at that guy and it might take you a few minutes of watching him, interacting with him, to be like, oh yeah, he's not all there. But meanwhile, for a guy to have that same sort of, I don't want to be around this guy reaction, the guy has to have like tattoos on his face and like, you know, a leather biker jacket cut off and like teeth missing, and he's got to be scowling. And then we're like, that guy looks a little bit crazy, you know, but a woman will have the same reaction and not necessarily know why. And it'll happen in an instant because they're just so much more finely tuned to all of this stuff. Again, because they have safety concerns when it comes to this, and they have for millions or X, we'll throw that in there. We don't want to get into that whole debate. For X hundreds of thousands of years, people have evolved to protect themselves, and apes show it too. So these things are planted in our brains. So people who are like, oh, I have plenty of friends who aren't confident. Yeah, you got them coincidentally through proximity or other factors. But do you want to limit your business network, your social network, your professional network? Do you want to limit that network to the people that get stuck in a classroom with you for a year and that's how you become their friend, or your sister's buddy, or your brother's cousin's uncle? I mean, you know, that type of thing is very limiting. And so one of the popular counter arguments to this is everybody has friends, everybody gets married. And it's like, yeah, but we know that people that have huge networks and social circles typically have happier relationships and are more sort of vibrant social life, which translates directly to income levels. We know that's true from studies and things like that. So why would you want to limit yourself to the people that coincidentally run into your network and end up in your network? Because you don't want to develop the skills. It's kind of like being like, oh, yeah, Jordan's in pretty good shape. And I'm like, yeah, I just don't have any food in the house and I never eat. That's not good for you. The result might look the same, but it's not good for you, right? The real way to do this is to work out, handle your business, get your nutrition and all your other ish on lock, and be in good shape because of that, not because you happen to starve yourself or you don't allow yourself food intake. And it's the same thing with networking. I know that might be a little bit confusing for a lot of folks because I just dropped a lot of new stuff there. But evolutionarily, we're programmed, the short of it is, to like people who are like us and who communicate really well with us and who just exhibit certain traits of leadership, camaraderie, and are able to generate trust and rapport. You can learn those skills. It's not fake. You can keep it authentic. But when you do that, you will be liked by more people. You will have a wider network, and that will translate into success, period.
Yeah. Just to jump in there, let's talk about that a little bit more in terms of, let's say I'm an athlete, and for instance, I've got everybody looking at me. I've just come to a new team. You know, I'm an American, and I just came to Serbia, and all these dudes are looking at me like, who is this guy? Where is he from? Is he really good? He's probably good. Like, they have all these things on their mind, right? And they're watching me. And I love this stuff that you talk about first impressions, how they're usually generally not when you think that you made that first impression. Right. They're actually really far behind that, usually right when that person first saw you maybe walk into wherever you're walking into. And that they're watching your body language that whole time, like you've mentioned before. But let's say that you're a player walking into that situation. I've done this where I've made the mistake before, where maybe I've been a little bit nervous and I've done something different and I've been a little closed off. What are some just really simple ways for an athlete to just show up to, say, a new team and say, hey, I'm here. I'm somebody you could trust. I'm somebody who's, you know, interesting, and get started off on the right foot.
Yeah, I think for athletes and soldiers and things like that, you have an interesting sort of subculture with a lot of things in common. First of all, you can be very friendly, open, you can be very outgoing, you can talk a lot, you can look people in the eye and shake everyone's hand and be, you know, introduced by the coach and all that other stuff. But if you suck at the sport, you won't get any respect, right? Because the measure of respect out there for a lot of those professions are how well you can perform, right? And leaders and things like that in organizations like that tend to be some of the top performers. You see that in athletics, and you see it also in special forces units and things like that. But so I'll ignore that portion of it because I can't really help you become a better athlete on this podcast, of course. But let's say that that's in order. you know, having things like the, and this is something that's so hard to teach in an audio only format, but bear in mind that you're kind of what you mentioned before, your first impression is not made when you open your mouth. It's made when you become a blip on other people's radar. So let's say you're walking into the locker room and you pass a group of people and they notice you and you look down because you're not ready for the introduction yet, you know, and you're like, oh, they didn't notice me or whatever. And then you're getting dressed and people are getting dressed and you're kind of in another corner of the locker room and you're like, I should probably say something to these people, but you know, the coach will introduce me pretty soon, or I'll introduce myself when we get out on the floor. And they're like, the hell is this guy? Right. But nobody says anything.
Exactly.
And they're peeking at you and you might wave or look down or pretend like you don't notice. And then you get out there and they're all lined up on one side and the coach pulls you aside and he goes, this is Ryan. And everyone's like, oh, why the hell didn't he say anything? And you're thinking, all right, this is my first impression. Hey guys, what's going on? Yeah, nice to meet you. And you're looking everyone in the eye and shaking hands. And what they're thinking either consciously or subconsciously is, why the hell didn't we do this before? And why was he so weird in the locker room? And we saw that guy outside. And all that body language, all that lack of eye contact or whatever, any first impression they had of when they first saw you, that's your first impression on them. Not when you were like, I'm geared up in my shiny new Belgrade volleyball team gear and the coach is like, this is Ryan. Like, that's not when your introduction, that's when your introduction was made. That was not when your first impression was made. And people do this all the time in business. They do it in dating. You know, they're like floating around the bar, floating around the office thinking like, oh, this person doesn't notice me. Yeah, they notice you. It's just that your first impression is whatever it is in their mind. You have no control over it unless you seize it and make it happen at first. So that's why we want to start that off as soon as possible. If you're walking in somewhere and you see a bunch of guys and you're like, this is, you know, this is my team or these are my teammates, you might say, hey guys, I'm new here. I'm not sure if you guys are in the same gig that I am, but my name's Ryan. Introduce. Worst case scenario, you introduce yourself to random people that you never see again. Who cares? Right. You know, get that out of the way, have them take you through it. By the time you get introduced to everybody, you've already met 6-7 dudes. It's so much easier that way. And again, this all sort of presupposes that you don't get out there and then like completely make an a-hole out of yourself on the field and like blow it and get your butt handed to you. Right. You can recover from that if people like you, but I'm going to assume you have a modicum of athletic talent to be there in the first place. Right. And women's sports are even tougher. I don't teach a lot of female athletes, but I have heard stories from friends of mine that are higher level female athletes, and women are actually like way harder on each other than guys are. I mean, it sort of makes sense, right? Because they're harder on each other socially anyway, but in sports, they're really hard on each other. And I think it's just because there's a lot more competition going on. Whereas I think guys are competitive, but they can kind of put it aside in some ways and still be friends, even if they're the competitive type of friends. It's really hard, in my observation, and I could be totally wrong, it's really hard for women who are competing with one another to also be friends at the same time. Yeah. Guys, we're wired differently. Like, you and I could be like, you know, oh, I'm going to make mincemeat out of this dude. You know, I can't wait to embarrass you out there. But then I could see you another time and I could rub it in your face. But then we could end up on the same team the next season. And it's like, I might take a couple of pot shots over beers, but it's not going to be like, I can't work with Ryan anymore because we were on opposing teams last year. It's really tough, in my observation, for women to make that switch over because there's just a little bit of different wiring. I'm not saying one's better or one's worse, but I am saying I definitely see differences between male and female athletes and the way they interact socially.
And we totally are different in terms of our psyche and the way that we do things. I mean, it's just, I mean, physiologically, psychologically, there are similarities and differences. That's just the way it is. So yeah, I love how you gave both. And we're running up on the end here. So I don't know, maybe I'll be able to get you on again in another month or two or three like at this time. But this has been great. I do want to really quick, before we give people ways to follow you and hook up with the Art of Charm, I want to give people really quick. I got to break out a bunch of this stuff. I'm going to take this out.
Be 5 minutes late for I can be 5 minutes late for my next thing. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So what I want to do is, we talked a little bit about in sport. Now we're traveling, we're athletes. Whether you're a club player at a young level, you're going to different cities, You have chances to meet people all day long and night long if you're up. Let's talk about how important it is to connect with random people in your day-to-day life, because we're all interconnected, and this is really important just for general happiness in life.
Yeah, let me tell you, every good thing that's happened to my business, I'd say 99% of all the positive things that have just randomly, and I'm putting that in air quotes that you can't see, to the Art of Charm, have happened through random social connections. I've gone to conferences and met some of my best friends that I consider brothers now, just amazing people. I'm sure that happens on the teams and sports units that you're with as well. You always hear from military special forces guys. And you even see that in stories, fictional as they may be, where like a military unit has like a nerd that everyone picks on, but he's still their brother. So like they get to screw with them. Nobody else does, right? You've all seen that sort of fictional portrayal. That type of interaction is something that can't come about unless you have a structure set up for it. So we need an absence of that structure, an absence of joining military units, a bunch of different sports teams for long periods of time, working in certain office environments. I mean, those friends are through proximity. Those are the people that are going to be your friends forever. I mean, it's a bummer that the friends you grew up with on your street are your best friends growing up. And then your friends on sports teams in middle school are the kids that you were friends with then. And then in high school, same deal. And then in college, it was the people who lived in your dorm room floor or in your classes. And then after that, it's the guy in the crappy office cubicle next to you. Those are your friends. That's a really lame selection of people, even if you get lucky and you make some really good ones. But for example, the Art of Charm became partners with Apple because I was on Facebook and I wish my Facebook friends happy birthday every year. And it's a huge tedious process and everyone always wonders why I do it. But I had a random ad from somebody and I wished him a happy birthday. And I was like, how did we meet? And he's like, I love your show. And I was like, cool. What do you do? And he's like, I work at iTunes. And I was like, wait a second. Really? And so I started talking with him and we actually became really good friends. And then after a while, I was like, hey, man, I hate to be that guy, but I would love to figure out how to get more traction in iTunes. And he's like, I wondered why you didn't ask me that a long time ago. And then we set up this whole plan. And long story short, now if I get a big name guest, I can have them featured in iTunes by basically sending an email to Apple. And if there's ever a problem, I can call Apple. I mean, that's crazy. You know, I can go to Google for lunch. I can ask people who run Google search algorithms what, you know, things are wrong with my website. And they go, well, I'm not allowed to do this, but you should remove this, 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 and this. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that that is extremely helpful that for business and for personal that I just would never have gotten if I hadn't sat down with strangers at a lunch once and been like, hey, I'm here by myself. Do you guys mind if I join you at some conference or something like that? And ended up meeting people that I'll be friends with for the rest of my life that are probably going to stand up at my wedding. Right. And regardless of whether or not you have a business, you can end up with massive opportunities just in life. And at the very least, some amazing friends by putting yourself in situations where you are forced to meet other people and then giving yourself the ability to do that and make great first impressions and frankly, generate rapport and trust over time with those same people.
So just to wrap up here, I mean, there's so much in that. I want to have you, if you can, because there's some things. I'm going to link up a show that you did where you talked about your value scale and a ton of other stuff for people to listen to more that Jordan has to say, because I'm sure this is going to whet their appetite. But let's really quick give them like one or two ways day to day how to randomly connect with people in very simple ways like smiling and whatever. And then let's give them a way to connect with you and we'll say goodbye.
Sure. So I answer all my email. I'm Jordan@theartofcharm.com. And I think since you're already listening to a podcast, the best thing to do is to simply check out the Art of Charm podcast and go from there. We have a best of page, theartofcharmpodcast.com/best. And then there's the toolbox, which I think you said you were going to link up in the show notes, theartofcharm.com/toolbox. But if you just go to theartofcharm.com/podcast, there's tons of shows there and the best of is linked there. So it's really just theartofcharm.com/podcast is really the easiest way to go. And, you know, I'm not asking people to buy anything. Just check out the show and enjoy it and send me a note.
Awesome. And really quickly, Can you give people, how can they get started on making their, in increasing their emotional intelligence? And then
Sure. I mean, one of the best ways to increase emotional intelligence is obviously to have more interactions with other folks, right? So one of the drills that I think would be great for just an audio only format group of people is every time you walk through a doorway, straighten up, you know, shoulders back, head up, smile on your face, open body language. And what that does is that creates a positive, open, nonverbal first impression. And we don't have to go over, you know, the first impression stuff right now again, because we already did in large part during the show, but this will help create an automatic positive nonverbal first impression. And that's really potent. I'll tell you, because if you do this every time, if you do that straightening up drill every time you go through a doorway, and I mean even in your own house, you build it as a habit and then you don't have to think about it anymore. And that means that when you go to Starbucks, when you go into any room, the second you walk in through that doorway, you've got great nonverbal communication, which is how we make our first impressions, because we don't do it when we open our mouth. We do it when other people see us, which means our nonverbals are doing all the talking. So I would say build that habit. And, you know, if people are interested from there, they can sort of, they can either write a note or to me, or they can check it out on the show, because I can take that drill pretty far. But I'd say if you can create that open and positive body language, you're going to have, people are going to start reacting to you differently. You'll see people treating you differently because you're going to look different and show up differently to other people. And that creates a positive feedback loop where you start to become that confident, charismatic, friendly, open person, which is something that we all work for a lot, actually.
And to end it off on this, I mean, it's like exactly what I said in the beginning with the quote. And I'm going to read it again, but you never rise to the level of your expectations, but you default to the level of your training. So if you want to get better in sport and life, you have to train these things. So thank you so much for coming on, Jordan. We'll stay in touch and you have a great day, bud.
Great. Thank you, man. Take care.
All right, bud. Bye. So guys, that was a fantastic episode with Jordan Harbinger of the Art of Charm podcast and the Art of Charm School, which is a great place for guys to go check out, you know, if you're trying to make it easier for yourself to come out of your shell, to not be so shy. You know, you might be a great athlete. You might be, you know, really good on the court or the field or whatever you're doing, but maybe you're not so great with the opposite sex. So I know that this show, for instance, I've heard reviews from women of The Art of Charm and they love it. They like to listen to it. There's a lot of things that they can take away from it. It's definitely more male focused, but ladies, check it out. Trust me, because emotional intelligence is something that we all could train and exercise a little bit more, because connecting with people is just so vital. And like he said, there's plenty of research out there showing that if you can connect with people, if you can do these things, if you can be more charismatic, you're going to live a longer, healthier, more prosperous life. And so why not? So I hope you enjoyed this episode with Jordan Harbinger. I'm going to link everything up in the show notes. If you did like it, tweet me at Ryan J. Owens and just tell me that you liked it. I'll make sure I get that over to Jordan. Or you can tweet at The Art of Charm. And until next time, don't forget to be more. So now I'm up in the courts, pleading my case from the witness box. Telling the judge and the jury the same thing that I said to the cops. On the day that I got arrested, I'm innocent, I protested. She just feels rejected. Had a heart broken by someone she's obsessed with. She likes the sound of my music. What are we doing live? Echoes in eternity. I'm going to show you how great I am. And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.